Exclusive Radio.
On this week's show, we're talking to Aaron Walls and Brett Vegas. They are the makers of the newest homebrewing machine out there called the Beer Maker. You might have seen it. It's kind of all over right now. And it's an all-in-one homebrewing machine that you can use to make beer on your countertop. It's a really simple machine, and it takes care of the entire process. And we're going to dive into how that works this week on Homebrewing DIY. Hey, Homebrewing DIY listeners, I want to talk to you about a company that we have just started partnering with here at Homebrewing DIY, and that's Brewing America. Now, Kyle and Angela, they have this small business where they're actually making American-made hydrometers here in the United States. They and their team are making these really high-quality tools and high-quality hydrometers for you to get the most accurate readings that you could possibly get for your beer. We're talking about scales that you can actually read. We're talking about hydrometers that might be used for your situation. Example would be they have a hot side hydrometer that's adjusted for hotter temperatures, so you could actually take a hydrometer reading from a pre-boil wort. Think about that. How cool is that? And nobody else is doing that, right? You're getting these cheap Chinese hydrometers that are poor quality. And when it comes to tools, I'm a big fan of gadgets and I'm a big fan of equipment, but this is a tool that you're going to use on every batch of beer. So you got to go check out Brewing America. They sell other things too. If you want cold brew coffee, they make a cool cold brew coffee kit. They have a really cool brewing glassware. You got to check it out. BrewingAmerica.com. Head on over there and let them know that Homebrewing DIY sent you. Another thing, if you head to our website, homebrewingdiy.beer, you can use the banner and that'll also let them know that we sent you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So thank you, and check out BrewingAmerica.com. And welcome back to Homebrewing DIY, the podcast that takes on the do-it-yourself aspect of homebrewing. Gadgets, contraptions, and parts, the show covers it all. On this week's show, we're talking to Aaron Walls and Brett Vegas of the Beer Maker team. We're going to talk to them about their new, amazing, all-in-one homebrewing machine that you can make beer on your countertop. I got to go down to their shop and check out, you know, what they're doing with the Beer Maker. I got to check out how they're building all of the kits that go with the Beer Maker. And it was kind of a cool experience. And we're going to get into a lot of the details about this really cool machine. And a really cool part was that when I went down, I talked to them. They even sent me home with a machine and I had a chance to brew a beer on it. And so, you know, while we were doing the interview, I actually was sitting there drinking the beer that I made in a Beer Maker, and I made a Kolsch. And it actually turned out really, really great. So we're going to talk about what that experience was like. And so you can stick around for the interview and listen to my experience and the experience of the Beer Maker. But first, I'd like to thank all of our patrons over at Patreon. It's because of you that the show can come to you week after week. You can get ad-free episodes, and you do get these episodes a bit earlier. As soon as I get them edited, I upload them straight to Patreon, and you can get those over at patreon.com/homebrewingDIY. You only have to donate a dollar to get ad-free episodes, and I even send you a set of Homebrewing DIY stickers, so kind of some nice little tidbits for not very much money. It's very, very valuable. So all of our patrons, I want to thank all of you who continue to be patrons. It's really helps us support this show. Like I said, I have a day job. This is definitely a side thing for me, and your donations help this show grow. And for example, you know, we now have articles being written by Chino, and we have Ryan who's writing articles, and these guys are super knowledgeable, and I'm excited about some of the things that we're going to be talking about and writing about here in the future, and I'm super excited about all of that. And all of it was made possible by our patrons and all of our donations, so thank you. Another way to support the show is to head on over to Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/homebrewingDIY. There you can give one-time support. Another way to support the show is by supporting our sponsors. If you head to homebrewingdiy.beer, you're going to see a bunch of our sponsor banners there. There's Brewfather, there's Brew in a Bag, there is some of our newer sponsors like Keg Factory, and also we have a new sponsor this week, which is Brewing America. If you use any of those banners, they know we sent you, and therefore continue to support the show. So, you know, please support all of our sponsors. You can always write us a review. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, just scroll up in your app, leave us a 5-star review, and it helps others find the show. And of course, you can also write us a review over at podchaser.com. And it's a cool little website, so you should check it out if you're looking for a new podcast to listen to. Great place to discover one. Another thing that we're about to do is, you know, yesterday Apple had their spring event. I'm kind of an Apple guy. I know that's kind of weird considering I'm into a lot of open source projects, and Apple is definitely the opposite of open source. I just think they make great products, and so I'm kind of into it. Well, I'm excited to say that I will be signing up for their new podcaster program. And so if you are listening to us on Apple, you can't do it today, but you will be able to support the show by subscribing to the show via Apple and in the Apple Podcast app. And I'm excited to be able to offer that to our guests. So that will be another way you'll be able to support the show. So very exciting about that coming up. That'll be something that will come up in early May. So, you know, something else I'll be talking about. Well, I've got a lot going on in my brewery right now. I brewed a Kvike pseudo pilsner. I used the Opsfog yeast, the Kvike yeast, and I also just did 100% pilsner beer, Saaz hops only. For some reason, my Saaz hops had actually some pretty low alpha acid, so kind of hitting that like 22 to 25 IBU range. Very, very simple recipe. If you head over to homebrewingdiy.beer, I actually uploaded the recipe, didn't really leave any comments, just uploaded it there for the recipe library. So if you want to check it out, you could download it and put it in your own brewing software and try it out. And I did this under pressure. So I got a spunding valve, and I'm doing it under a 10 PSI the whole time. Kind of cool. Very exciting. I did find out that, you know, a keg in my chest freezer with a spunding valve doesn't fit. So I actually had to do it like kind of at an angle to get it to fit in there. Kind of cool, pointing up. And yeah, we'll see how that beer turns out. And I also have another beer going in the beer maker. And so I've got a couple beers going on. And kind of funny, I actually made a Kolsch in the beer maker, and we're going to talk about that a bit later in the interview. But I actually sent the beer. Right now, actually, my homebrew club meeting is happening. It's one of our first in-person meetings, and all the guys that are meeting are fully vaccinated. I'm still a couple weeks out, and so I'm not doing an in-person meeting. But I did send my beer maker beer and had them all taste it, and looking forward to that feedback, and excited to see if they feel that it made a pretty good beer, which I think it did. So kind of cool. And let's just dive into this week's episode, where we do talk a little bit more about the beer maker. I'd like to welcome Aaron Walls and Brett Vegas from the beer maker team. Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
Awesome. Well, welcome to Homebrewing DIY. And I wanted to bring you guys on the show because I've seen your stuff everywhere, right? I got an email from the AHA. You guys are you've come out with this new machine that is a kind of countertop all-in-one homebrewing machine that's all grain. It's a pretty cool machine and very, very well designed. And you're really just hitting the market right now. It's kind of just, I would say you're kind of right now in the place where you're kind of getting it pushed out, getting your name out there. And it's a pretty cool little unit. I've had a chance to brew with one and so now I've got you guys on the show. And I think that we'll want to do a deep dive on it. But I think what we want to really dive into is let's talk a bit about your guys's homebrewing history, because you guys have some serious homebrewing roots and kind of how that turned into a countertop beer machine. So how did that journey happen?
So we started out as a company making just beer brewing equipment, like you said. In 2013, 2014, we were in development for this product called the Brew Jacket Immersion. And Immersion is a pretty incredible device. It allows space-constrained home brewers as well as commercial brewers with pilot systems to have incredibly accurate fermentation temperature control without the use of a refrigerator or frozen 2 liters that you put inside of a jacket, or any of these other kind of hacky methods that we as home brewers tend to employ to keep our yeast at the right temperature for whatever the style happens to be. So Immersion was it still is, I mean, we still sell it. It's a solid state thermoelectric heat exchanger that pulls heat out of your beer or pushes heat into it. And it maintains within, I think it's 0.3 degrees Fahrenheit of whatever your set temperature is. So you get these laser accurate fermentations, and you could do it in your closet. You don't have to have a chest freezer or a second fridge. And it's a very much so a friendly for, and let's call it apartment brewers or those with significant others who don't want you to have another gigantic chest freezer. So that was one of the big selling points of that particular device. And, you know, we've been selling it for a long time, and we've seen it picked up by, thousands of home brewers. It's been sold in over 30 countries over the world. Yeast laboratories, brewing universities, large breweries will pick it up for their pilot system. So it was a really great device that served a pretty specific niche. Since Immersion came out, we've seen a lot of other fermentation, vessel companies bring out their own temperature control system. So, we've kind of started this whole thing, if I'm so bold to say so, that we, outside of the glycol chillers that were never available for the hobbyists or for the home brewers, like we kind of were the first in the market with a purpose-built product specifically for fermentation temperature control. So that was where this whole thing started. And, over the course of a number of years selling it, we had conversations with just non-brewers even, and described to them what we did and just tell them about fermentation temperature control devices. And they're like, oh, that sounds awesome, but, I don't brew beer. And then I would naturally ask them, well, why not? And, the answers would come back as, well, it's either too hard, or I've tried it before and it was awful, too much equipment, or I don't have time. And, those answers really started cycling. After talking to a few dozen people, started to pick out those patterns. And then it really kind of materialized in our brains of like, man, there's a real need here for a countertop system, or not a countertop necessarily, that's where we eventually got to, but to take the technology we've developed for commercial grade fermentation control and build it into a device that everybody can use, and try to break down the barriers, because, you know, good fermentation control is one of the critical pieces to good beer. And all of the other consumer focused systems, and even the let's call it the enthusiast focused systems like the Brewy or the Pico Z, you know, they just omit temperature control on fermentation altogether. So we saw that there was a huge opportunity to unite all the fronts of hot side, of cold side, and serving. So that's how we got here. But
yeah, and I have to say that was kind of the thing that, and I'll give a little bit of experience of what my experience is with beer makers so far. I've been to your shop, right? I've been to your warehouse where you guys have all the beer makers. They have this really cool room filled with a bunch of brew makers brewing a bunch of beer, probably testing out new recipes and things like that. But it's a pretty cool little room to be in. But it is something where it really is a unit that has the entire process of making beer built into it, right? And I have to admit, through my personal experience so far, and here's my thought on brewing. Home brewing is a lot of waiting, right? It's a patience game. And a lot of people don't, when I talk to people about home brewing, hey, I want to get into home brewing, I say, hey, you have to really like to do dishes. And if you don't like to clean, don't be a home brewer. And then B, you have to be patient. And it is really a true game of patience. We all brewed our first batch. We all went through the experience of messing with it all the way through, right? You got your bottle conditioning and you can't wait. So you open the one weekend and it tastes like crap. And there's just like, it really, and you wonder why your beer sucks is because you just didn't let it do its thing, right? Yeast makes the beer. You didn't let it actually go through that full process. And for me, I feel like with the beer maker, it is literally a machine that I can set and forget and beer comes out the other side. It's kind of, you know, it has very little active time from the brewer side. And I know that there's going to be a lot of homebrewers, considering I'm a homebrewing DIY show, they're going to send me emails being like, this is the part of homebrewing I love. I get it. I'm the same way. But there is very little active time with this machine. I think somebody said it best. It feels like a bread machine, but it actually makes beer, and actually better beer than a bread machine made bread. But the idea is that it when you think about it, you just kind of throw the ingredients in and beer comes out the other side. It's a really mind-blowing thing. And how did you get to that, right? Like, how, like, does that make sense? Like, how did the thought process go from like an immersion chiller to end up becoming a full all-in-one system that has every single step there?
And honestly, man, I had some kids. The time available to sit and wait for your water to get hot or to chill, or, you know, setting the timers for the hop additions or scrubbing pots down and fermenters, all of that was one huge impetus to do this. And it was, I love brewing, but I hate cleaning and I hate waiting. And I want to brew without all of the labor. And if I could somehow do that, I can reclaim this thing I love that I feel like I lost because my life became too busy to actually continue brewing. So yeah, so it was a long process of development and testing materials and designs but always at the heart of what we were doing was eliminating the labor and the risk for failure. That was everything. All of our design thought was around.
Well, what's interesting too is all those things that you mentioned where it's like it takes a long time or it's a lot of sitting and waiting. It's a lot of like those same steps that are sometimes a little frustrating and annoying for people are also the same steps that people screw up, you know, that it's introduction of, you know, you start oxidizing your beer, or introduction of bacteria. So the same steps that kind of suck about brewing are also the ones that if you don't do right, that brew's ruined. And so we're kind of killing two birds with stones by automating those steps, because we make it easy and we eliminate the major failure points.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point, because I constantly have conversations with beginning homebrewers. I think, you know, I have we're a homebrewing podcast, a lot of beginning homebrewers. This is a learning method, right? When I learned how to homebrew, I dove into all the podcasts that were around at the time. Like, that's how I got into homebrewing. My first batch was in 1998. There were no podcasts then. But once I decided I was going to really homebrew for serious, there were a few, right? And that's part of my learning method. I'm a very audio learner. And I have a lot of listeners that are also beginners, right? And for me, it's something where the kinds of questions that I constantly answer as somebody who gets a lot of homebrewing questions are really geared around things like, how do I keep oxygen out of my beer? How do I not get infections? Does this piece of equipment make my beer better? How do I manage my water profiles, right? It's all the kind of process stuff that comes into it. And I have to say that this machine really does it. I don't feel like I made beer and beer came out the other side. Like, it really feels that way. And it's a really weird thing to be sitting here saying that, because I was actually kind of in disbelief. And the crazy part of it is, this is an all grain system. This is a system that it doesn't take the fun part out of homebrewing. I can still make my own recipes. I can still, the creative part of homebrewing and the part that I love about homebrewing is still there, right? And I think that's really where Beer Maker, in my essence, has really come together in a really cool piece of technology and homebrewing, is that the creativity isn't gone. I don't have to buy your kits. Like, don't get me wrong, you guys sell stuff for a beginning homebrewer, great. But I don't have to buy your kits. I could go to my local homebrew shop and buy the equipment, and buy the ingredients that I want to make a beer out of, and scale it down to a 1.3 gallon size, and boom, it's ready to roll. It's not that the creativity doesn't go anywhere, and that is something that was.
Well, that's really the beauty of it in our mind. Is we think it doesn't just it eliminates all the bad steps, but it's not just you still have the creativity. We think it actually helps you kind of unleash some of that creativity, because you're not focused on the time, you're not focused on the risk, the resources you invest in any given 5-10 gallon brew. It's like, you're making it took you 5-10 minutes, right? Like, maybe you're going to take some more risks next time. Maybe you're going to do some crazy stuff. Like, it shifts the focus more on the ingredients and more of the beer and less about just the process, which is important, obviously, but it isn't the inspiring part.
Exactly. So if you were to spend 8 hours on your brew and 3 weeks fermenting it out, would you put half a box of Lucky Charms in it?
People do, but you're less exactly. likely to want to do that.
People were doing exactly, that on their right? people were doing that on their second try with our machine.
Yeah,
and to me, it's like I'm part of the beer. I went and joined the Beer Maker the owners group on Facebook, and I'm seeing all the crazy beers people are making. They're trying to talk Brewfather into making a fermentation into building a profile into it. Right there, the enthusiasm is still there for this machine that you would see for any other type of brewing. You know, I'm part of Brew in a Bag groups, right? And there's enthusiasm around that style of brewing, and there's enthusiasm around the style of brewing that you're going to get from doing partial mash. There's an entire group on that, right? And all of the people that are in all of these groups have the way that they've chosen to brew, and they're very enthusiastic about it. And the owners group at least feels the same way for me. You still have the same kind of conversations I see where it's like, hey, I've come up with a 3D printed mod to do this to be able to fill bottles easier, right? People are as ingenuitive with this machine as you would see with any other machine. it feels kind of like it's that kind of, it's just a platform, right? I come from tech companies, and that's we always talk about platforms. Beer Maker is just another brewing platform. And in all reality, it has some very, very niche things about it, and we're going to get into them. But and I think that might be a good thing to talk about, because let's talk through what the process of a standard beer is. I'm actually right now, as we're doing this, I'm drinking the first beer I made out of my beer maker, which is a Kolsch. It tastes great. I'm drinking it as we speak right here. I tapped this yesterday, and it could be a little more carbonated, but that's in one day, right? In a week, it'll probably be perfect. But let's talk a bit about what that actual brewing process happens with every batch, right? What does that look like? And because Beer Maker does do some stuff on the hop side that's very, very different than the normal brewing process. And you guys have come up with some really innovative ways around getting around some of this stuff. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So from a material design perspective, a usability perspective, materials, the challenge was, when designing this machine, is how do you make it easy? And the hardest part about designing a brewing machine is how to handle the boil. I mean, obviously that's coming from somebody who has built fermentation equipment. It's like, yeah, going really on the hot side, and pumps and different chambers to manage hops. Like, that's, it's all very complicated and drives the cost up astronomically, as well as reliability issues and all that. I mean, if you just look at the multiple iterations of all the other brewing machines that have attempted to do that, they're incredibly complicated and they're multiple thousands of dollars. So we made the decision to make it more accessible to people and eliminate the boil. And that does a lot of things for us. It allows us to remove the, let's call it, a number of interactions that you would be forced to have as a brewer, and such as, let's say, filling up different modules for hop additions. So we can eliminate that part of the UX. Then you also have additional cleaning. You now have pumps, because you have to route them through different places. That's incredibly costly. Getting up to boiling temperatures, you're now dealing with different materials, which is also incredibly costly. So we made the decision pretty early on to investigate all of the scientific and chemistry-related reasons and ways that we could get the same result without using a boil. So when you start a beer maker batch, you fill your system with water. Well, you attach a bag first, which is where all the brewing happens in. And then you fill it with water, and you fill it with malt, and you hit go. It brings it up to about 165 degrees very slowly over the course of about 6 hours or so. This process is a very... it's a very long and slow process that it essentially emulates step mashing, where you hit all of your enzyme activation temperatures along the way. And then you get up to about 165 as a mash out temperature, and it pasteurizes everything in the system and then cools it all down. And so we don't get hot enough to convert the S-methylmethionine to the dimethyl sulfide. And if you were to get up to a boil, you would have to boil all of that DMS off. But because we never get up there, we're never forming DMS to begin with. So the end result of this thing is, you know, you are hitting protein enzyme temperatures. You are coagulating those proteins. You get a really nice hot break. You are... you're hitting your saccharification rest, and you're mashing out, and you're not pulling excess tannins out either. So we saw more reasons to eliminate the boil than we saw to engage in a boil from a design and from a final beer perspective. The biggest hole in that, obviously, is hops. How do you handle hops? and because you need to isomerize your acids somehow, some way. So we worked with a lot of hop scientists as well as brewing scientists, and we developed a new method for processing cone hops, and they go through a proprietary steaming process where we steam the hops in our facility in Boulder, and we steam them for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 60 minutes, and then they get dried, pelletized, and packaged. And the end result of that is you throw a 60-minute steam hop of Cascade in while you pitch your yeast. And it tastes like you just boiled it with Cascade for 60 minutes. You have the same hop profile, the same bitterness, and the same oils enter your beer. And they're adjusted oils. So there's far less myrcene in that Cascade 60 minute than there would be in a raw Cascade, because it's volatilized off because it's been steamed for 60 minutes. So it's a really fascinating way to handle it. And the end result is now hops are as easy to handle as grains in your mash. You can use crystals or specialty malts. You can use two row. You just throw them all in at once and you hit your mash temps and you've got a very complex wort out of it. We're just doing the same thing with hops. So like the malting house treating their barley in different temperatures and times, we're doing the same thing with hops, and you throw them all in with the yeast and you get a very robust product that you are able to mix and match and put whatever hop schedule in that you'd like.
All right, Aaron, let's just hold that thought real quick, because I'd like to just do a quick word from our sponsors, and then when we come back, we'll dive in a little bit more and talk more about the beer maker and get back to this conversation. So just give me 1 second. Hey, homebrewers. As you know, I want to talk to you a bit about one of our favorite sponsors right here, and that's the Cake Factory. You know, the Cake Factory is a local homebrew shop, and they're based out of San Antonio, Texas. And I, for one, am a huge supporter of your local homebrew shop. And, you know, sometimes you got to buy stuff online. Sometimes you may not be close to a local homebrew shop, or just you feel that you're going to get the kind of service that you need. And all I have to say is, if you're looking for that, Keg Factory is the place for you. They sell everything. They have a huge inventory of all kinds of brewing equipment, ingredients. They sell it all, right? And the cool thing about Keg Factory is that you can actually get keg cash from them. They have a rewards program that once you make an account, for every dollar purchased, you're going to get a point and 50 bonus points just for signing up. And you're going to be able to use those points to get cool free stuff. So, you know, they have a loyalty program for their customers. You're going to get free shipping on any orders over $75. So, you know, a couple of batches, I don't know, every time I go to the homebrewing store, it's always $100. So really just getting that free shipping is going to be great. And then you have real brewers that brew daily, and they're there to answer your questions. So you could pick up the phone. You could call Keg Factory right now. And on the other side of that is going to be a knowledgeable homebrewer that's going to be there to help you. And so, you know, go ahead, give them a call, ask them a question. They're there for you. And the other part is that they're able to split any of your orders into 4 equal payments. So if you're looking to get something big, let's say you're going to buy a all-in-one brewing system like a Brewfather, or you want to go big and buy a Blickman system, you know, 3 vessel and spend $3,000, you could do that in 4 equal payments and make that interest free and not have to pay any of that, and do it in 4 payments and really just make that an easier process to get. So head on over to kegfactory.com and check them out, and make sure you tell them that Homebrewing DIY sent you, and thank them for supporting the show. All right, now let's hop back into where we left off in our conversation. And as you remember, we were discussing dry hopping. So let's get back into it.
Yeah, dry hopping is still the same process as it always has been, right? So, for example, you know, hazy IPAs with a lot of late addition hops and no boil hops, you know, that process could be very similar to what you do now. You would just throw the hops in with the mash mash it out. That would give you your hop stand, and then you would then turn around and add your you would then turn around, just add your dry hops into the system, just like any other dry hop, and it's gonna just work, right? It's the only place that this is kind of weird is in that bittering hop phase. And I've used the steam hops on a single batch of now. I've got a second batch going already because, you know, it's super simple. You just take the bag out and swap a new one in. And while you're drinking one batch, another batch is being made. It's kind of cool. And I will throw out, you guys threw the extra rings in there so that you could do that. I noticed that. I was like, that's smart. Yeah. So
no, you're set purpose. Up, set yeah, up for back-to-back back brews.
Yeah, very well thought out. But it's kind of it's pretty cool. I want to talk about the bag a bit because it is kind of a cool piece of technology, even though it's just a plastic bag. But it emulates a conical fermenter, right? It has even all of the same functions of a conical fermenter in a plastic bag. And kind of talk about what you guys were thinking about in that process too.
Yeah, so the bag was another one of those innovations that we had to settle on because we wanted to create a system that did not use pumps. Pumps are expensive, they break, they require cleaning. So we thought, yeah, a bag would be a good way because you can manipulate the size of a bag by, you know, putting objects in front of or squeezing it. So we have the squeeze bar where we can change the bag volume from 4.5 liters to 3.5 liters to 1 liter. And it just pushes that volume up into the brewing chamber. So the bag was huge. You have the top port where it connects to your brewing chamber and a bottom port that connects to a waste bag that sits underneath it. And we have a 15 degree angle on it, that weight on the bottom of the bag. And, you know, regular conical fermenters, they require 60, 70 degree angles. But because we have height restrictions, we're trying to build this device to fit under your kitchen cabinets, we couldn't get it much bigger than 18 inches. So we added a vibratory motor to the back of the unit that would shimmy the yeast down. And that 15 degree angle plus the vibratory motor allows you to get a clean beer coming out of the bottom side of it. So the yeast settle out, the vibratory motor shuffles them all down into another chamber underneath the bag, and then you have quick disconnects that pop the bag out, and now you're not transferring the beer or exposing it to oxygen or germs because you just have a bag of beer in your hand, and you drop it into your beer tap, plug those valves in, and voila, you've just packaged your beer.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is kind of that easy. One thing I will talk about when we talk about the vibratory mortar, it is kind of loud, right? That it's and I will say I'm telling you guys, like, it's something I hear. You know, when people talk, I've read a bunch of blogs about the beer maker, and the one criticism people say is, you know, the machine's kind of loud, right? And it's that vibratory motor. You do have a setting to where you say, hey, it only comes on during certain hours of the day. Obviously, if it weren't a pandemic and people were off at work, you could be like, hey, it only vibrates while I'm at work. Nobody cares, right? My wife immediately kicked me to the garage with it, so it has no limit on it because I can't hear it anyway. But, you know.
Yeah, we try to give you as much controls. But yeah, if you're stuck in a dorm room with a bunch of other people trapped around you sharing walls, sitting in it all day, then it causes problems.
Yeah, it is a little loud. But it's... to me, it's like it doesn't even really run that often, right? It's something that it kind of intermittently comes on. You hear a little buzzing, and to me, I'm like, oh, that's my beer brewing. That's the thought process.
Yeah, we're putting in some new controls too, where, like, say you just happen to be in the middle of a meeting or a movie or whatever it is, you can just go hit the silence button and snooze it right away. So there's two ways. Like, you set your times, but then you can also just kind of go shut it up when you need to shut it up.
Yeah. Exactly. But it serves a function, right? And that function is that it does give you a cleaner beer. One thing I will notice from my personal experience was that when I went to the bag, there wasn't a bunch of, like, you know, the bag has creases, it has seams in it, right? There's not a bunch of yeast sitting in your seams. It is all floating down into that waste bag. One thing for me is that, and this is something I got from the owner's group, is like, there's people of like, hey, do you push the bubbles out of the waste bag or do you not? my thought process was don't, because then it just, you know, it's CO2 and it makes it so that you don't make it is if I go with a liquid to liquid connection, I risk, you know, a little bit of spillage, even though it's a quick disconnect. Having that little CO2 pocket in there would just, like, you know, just gives you enough space, right? That's the way I see it.
I mean, personally, I can't help it.
Yeah.
I push those bubbles out every time.
So there you go.
Well, I mean, well, that's what's kind of fun, right? So, I mean, obviously everyone hasn't seen this thing before, but, like, it's a soft bag. It's a manipulable bag, and then it's got a waste container at the bottom. And you made a Kolsch, and the Kolsch has a little bit less waste than, say, like, a heavy hop one. But you can jump in there, and you can slap the bag, you can manipulate it, you can, you know, you sometimes, there's this little nose that sometimes catches a little bit, you flick it, close the door, hit the vibe motor, and it just runs it right in. But I personally think it's so cool that you can open this thing and watch primary fermentation just like cranking, and the bubbles just going, and you can get in there and help.
Come on, that is actually everybody's favorite part about homebrewing, is watching the fermentation, right? The second I switched to kegs for fermentation and I can walk to my glass carboy and see everything churning, I was like, oh, that was my favorite part. The cool thing about the beer maker, you can open the door and just, like, look at it, and you can actually see it churning in there, going nuts. Like, you don't lose that kind of piece of the homebrewing experience. That's still there. I feel like, you know, the other piece that I love, that I really liked about the beer maker was the price point, right? You guys have really, I think, you know, it's not as expensive as a grandfather. It's not as cheap as a mash and boil. It kind of lands right there in the middle. But to me, it's something where if I were to take all of the functions of a brewery, right? So I'm going to, you know, go and buy a kettle, and I'm going to go and get a burner, and then I'm going to get a chest freezer, and I'm going to get fermentation control on the chest freezer. I'm going to go build myself a tap system of some sort, right? To be able to keg it and have it on draft, even in a small format version. All of those things are going to cost more than a beer maker machine is. Whereas when I've seen other all-in-one brewing machines, they're more than it would cost for you to build it yourself. And so for me, it's something where I think you guys have kind of got it into a place where there's real value there, in that I could have an all grain setup that has temperature control and beer on draft in my house. And let's just say I did an entire show on apartment brewing and brewing 1 gallon batches. Trust me, there's an entire huge community geared around that size of a batch of beer. And you could have all of that kind of equipment at a price that, like, it would cost you, like, you know, twice to that to really do that. And how did, you know, was that a thought consideration when you guys were doing it? I know that, you know, you guys, it's a business, you got to make money, but was that part of the process? Was, like, this has to be something that's affordable?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, absolutely. We want this to be a tool for homebrewers who are a little less price sensitive, I'd say, because they've already invested thousands of dollars. But for us, the real challenge is bridging that gap between true homebrewers and just the casual beer lover. And if you want to hit the casual beer lover, it has to be reasonably affordable, because these are folks who aren't investing the time, money, et cetera, today. So we need to make it easier. And one of those barriers is going to be price.
And likewise, if you have the setup already, you know, you've got your $3,000 SS BrewTech setup, you know, being able to pull something that is affordable, so you can in 5 minutes do a quick, you know, experimental batch and prototype out a few different experiments, then scale it up. So it becomes this really versatile piece in any arsenal.
Yeah. And just like people that are listening, this machine's around $579 with the draft system included, right? So this isn't like, when we talk about, like, other types of equipment like this, you know, when we look at the iterations of all-in-one brewing systems, there have been systems in the past that were many thousands of dollars. I remember the one system that I saw at Great American Beer Festival a few years ago that was made by, like, I think it was made by, like, Maytag or somebody. And it was like, it was a huge machine, and it had, like, taps on it. It was like $3,000. And I actually literally thought to myself, who's going to actually buy this thing? Like, I'm a home brewer and I would never buy this thing because of A, it's super cost prohibitive, but it doesn't really solve any of my problems, right? Like, it's just...
Right. Yeah, the Vessi.
Yeah, that's that thing. And then there were other machines that, like, you know, I think have taken off, which are all hot side, right? When we think about like the Grainfather and we think about mash and boils. And I think that they've definitely made homebrewing a lot more approachable when it comes to people thinking about like, hey, what am I going to do to make a 5-gallon batch? Hey, few $100 and you've got a machine that's going to take care of all of your hot side, right? The cool thing about this machine is that it's kind of got the fermentation and it's also got the serving kind of built in there. And because those are the parts that even when somebody's investing in an all-in-one brewing system, they never really, none of them are doing fermentation and serving. And so those two pieces are added costs onto those. So I'll use Brewfather as an example. I mean, the Grainfather is an example. Not to like mash to bash them. They've got a great product. It's just that, you know, it's an all-in-one brew kettle with pumps and it works on an app, which is great. But then, you know, the cold side, you have to buy the fermenter from Grainfather as well. So you're now into the thousands of dollar range once you get there. Then that's temperature controlled as well. And then you still have nothing to serve from, right? You still have to come up with some sort of kegging system or you know, obviously bottles, right? So for me, it's something where you guys have kind of nailed all those pieces for that 1-gallon size. And it's an all-in-one system at I think a price point that's super doable. What is it that, you know, like, for example, what are the kind of cool hacks and just kind of thing? You guys obviously have seen what people have done with your machine so far, right? What are some of the cool things that you've seen people get a hold of this machine and do? You talked about like people throwing like boxes of cereal in it. That's awesome. But what are some other kind of things that, like, you know, I'm a home brewer. The people that listen to this are kind of hacky home brewers. So, you know, what are the kind of cool things that, like, I get this machine, what can I really do with it and be creative with it?
Yeah. So probably the first is people picking up a lot of those extra valves, and they're pumping through beers, and they're like taking their bags and they're just lining up their fridge with them. They're stacking them up to age them. And they're doing crazy styles like double, triple mashes. They're doing long oak ages, pulling it out, putting them into barrels. I'd say that sort of versatility is huge. We've seen, there's one guy, Nate Spector. Oh, hey, hi, Nate. I've been working with Nate a lot on making, gluten-free programs, on the machine. And you know, we haven't spent any time doing gluten-free stuff, but, Nate is celiac and is really, really into gluten-free beer and making his own. And so he picked up a beer maker on a lark, and really before he bought it, he emailed me. He was like, hey, is it even possible? And I was like, it's absolutely possible. We haven't spent time on it, but you're welcome to do it and I will help you. So we've been designing the right mash program, the right holds, the right times to put enzymes in. And he's been, making some pretty awesome gluten-free beers from buckwheat, from sorghum and millet and rice. I mean, it's pretty incredible to see that degree of versatility. We've had people go into sours with it, which is really exciting. And that also takes another brewing program. You know, our DIY section of the app, we're still building it out. So people will just email me and say like, hey, I want to do this crazy thing. It's like, awesome. Let's make a schedule. Like we'll just make the program for your beer maker and we'll send it to it and we'll see what happens. We'll watch it you know, and if it's doing what you want it to do, then, you know, let me know and I'll stop watching it and you can keep on going. Otherwise, like you can send revisions in real time to it. So there's been a lot of like, hey, let's bang on this thing and see what we can make. And it's been incredibly fun to have the community be so involved in that and to be working with them while they're exploring what the capabilities of this machine are. You know, and we've only been around for a couple of months and it's incredibly exciting to see what people are pulling off with it.
Yeah. And if you were to say like, hey, what does Beer Maker look like to you in a year? Right. Obviously I know that you guys, you said we're going to work on the app some more, that kind of stuff. Right. And the app is really good. Right. So one thing that I like about the Beer Maker is, you know, you can go into the app and you can do your DIY stuff and it's real simple. But it is also something that, like, you know, if this thing isn't connected to the internet, it's still going to go through the program. It doesn't become a brick without an internet connection. So I think that that's also something that's great about it. But I'd love to talk about what does Beer Maker look like to you a year from now or 2 years from now?
I mean, there's a little bit of everything. I mean, to Aaron's point, what's so cool about this is, you know, you came into our shop. We've got, 16, 17 beer makers lined up in a room, and we're brewing as much beer as we possibly can. But we've got over 1,000 out in the wild right now. And so they're doing more than we could do. And so at this point in our life as a company, we are listening to everything that everybody says. You mentioned this Beer Maker Owners Group. They are so awesome. They are so passionate. And we are lurking on the sideline of this group, listening and watching and seeing what this thing needs to take it there. You know, we've been talking about Brewfather integrations. How do we make recipe and DIY stuff easier? And then there's the other side of it too, where if we move ourselves away from these super informed, super engaged homebrewers, it's like, how do we just make this easy and fun for your buddies who don't brew but love your beer? You know, like how do we make it more accessible to all these other people? And that's where we're starting to make these super easy plug and play kits. We're messing around with, you know, new yeast strains where we can maybe make beer in like 5-6 days. We're talking to multiple breweries around Colorado, around the country to start doing partnerships. Like there's just a lot of really, really fun stuff where we can take this, but kind of back to what Aaron was saying, it all comes down to what people want to do with this and what they really want to see, because it's just a tool. It's really just a tool. And we're just trying to package it in the easiest, most user-friendly way possible.
Well, guys, I want to thank you for coming on Homebrewing DIY. I have to say, this was a cool conversation to really kind of deep dive into the product. I know we talked when I was at the shop and we tasted some beers and we kind of BS'd about it. But it's kind of cool to really talk about, like, you know, the thought process that went into this machine, because the one criticism I will have of it, and it's a good criticism actually, is that this is a very, very well designed machine. And this, and I'm somebody who really appreciates design in the way of, like, it has a single button, right? Like, to me, like, aspects of good design are things like you push one button and it works, right? If you watch the videos, it's something where I'm sitting there, I watched the videos before I made my first batch, and I was like, oh man, this kind of feels complicated. But then once you do it, it's not at all. It's actually very, very simple. And all of the steps are so easy that anybody can follow them. And so it feels like the entire process is very focused on, you know, somebody who is a beginner and doesn't know what they're doing when it comes to the beer making process. But it also, even with somebody who's advanced, I felt like I was learning, because it is a new process, right? So it's a cool machine, and I'm excited for the cool things I'm going to do with this machine. You guys have no idea. I'm going to be on that list of people that are doing all crazy stuff with your machine. I'm very hacky. And so the idea is that, you know, I'm excited about the cool things we're going to do with this machine, and you know, see what kind of cool beer batches I make out of it over the next year. But I want to thank you guys for coming on the show, because it was just a great conversation and to really dig into it. And thank you so much. I want to thank Brett, and I want to thank Aaron for taking the time to come on the show. You need to go check out the Beer Maker. Just Google Beer Maker, BEERMKR, and I'll have a link in the show notes to their website so you can check it out. It's a pretty cool machine, and if you're looking for an easy way to make beer, it's definitely that. We will do feedback next week on the show. It's a long show, and I've got a pile, so we'll do it all next week. Well, that's it for this week, and we'll talk to you next week on Homebrewing DIY.